Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jason, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Fred, Sean. We don't know where Don Fry is. I've been calling him and texting him. If you've heard from Don Fry, let me know, because I am a little concerned. It's not like him, but who knows? He might just show up 20 minutes in. You know, that's just Don.
Yeah. He didn't text last time I texted him either, so I don't know what's going on.
He did. He did say something in our text thread at one point. So didn't he? I thought he responded something. I don't know how long ago it was, but I remember saying something.
Yeah, he called someone a pussy, right? He said,
"That's something here. Like that." Yeah.
Greg, how was your weekend?
It was interesting. You know, I was there performing at the comedy club that's right there in the Westgate Shopping Center, which is right across from the State Farm Stadium where the Super Bowl was. All the Super Bowl festivities were going on. And of course, so right outside in the pavilion, they booked two concerts at the same time as, you know, we're having, they're like, fuck the comedy club. We're having a giant. So the first night was Marshmello.
Okay.
Which is a huge international DJ.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much the people of Phoenix are into, you know, let alone those. You think about people that can afford to be at the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's the same, you know, crossover. So while it was super loud, like everything was just rattling in the club from the bass. You know, but listen, I you don't do this for 20 some odd years and not get used to just facing these situations. I've dealt with it before. It's not, you know, so I just, you know me, I'm loud too. So I just blasted through. Then the next night was Tim McGraw, you know?
Yeah.
And now Tim, well, not nearly as loud, definitely way more people. That place was bananas.
Yeah.
So there were just so many. So I mean, I was, and of course I'm poking fun. I'm like, thanks for being my opener, Tim McGraw. Thank you. Thanks for my opening act, Marshmello. Now come, you know, and some people actually did, once they finished the Tim McGraw show, actually then came in and watched my set, you know, at the end. So, I mean, they missed the other two guys, but they caught my entire act. So that was fun. And, you know, shocking. And it was funny because I would go out on stage and I was like, you guys, thank you. You're such diamonds. You're diamonds. And they, you know, and they're like, what is this guy talking about? I'm like, you're the rare individual that cut through those throngs of people here to see Tim McGraw. We're like, no, fuck Tim McGraw. We're here to see the tiny yelling man in that little room up there. You know? And so I really kind of just, I praised him up for it. And I didn't want to act like it wasn't happening. I leaned into it.
That's
so
great.
We ended up having a great time and I had incredible shows and it was super fun.
Sean, what about you?
I sat and thought all night about whether or not the Super Bowl was fixed because I didn't bet on it. But like when the last Hail Mary goes 22 yards, like the guy that throws it, like you got to wonder, dude, I don't know an NFL quarterback that can't throw it. I could throw the ball when I was younger, 50 or 60 yards. Like, I don't know. And I didn't even play football, you know, like when he threw that last one, like 20 some yards, we're giving them no chance to win. I'm thinking, dude, has this guy got together with James Krause? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Or whatever. Is Krause the quarterback's coach now? Some of the stuff, man. Even that holding call, man, just at the end there, that's the ball wasn't catchable. And isn't that the rule? If it's not catchable, you can interfere all you want. You know what I mean?
Like, it may have been uncatchable because he slowed him down to where he couldn't get to it because he did turn him and he grabbed. And even the guy, James Bradbury, the defender, came out and was like, look, I grabbed his jersey. I was hoping they wouldn't see it. He said that.
It's kind of like NBA. There's 10 fouls on every play. It's just who's going to call what, I guess, man.
Totally.
Do interference on top, so it's kind of
exactly. You can call it or not call it. You know, obviously they called that one because they wanted Mahomes to win. So,
well, yeah, I can't wait to tell you guys about this, my experience over the weekend. So, Greg, Sean, so this guy, I meet this guy, and he texts me. He goes, hey, man.
This is how most Bruce Buffer stories start, by the way.
He slid into your DMs, right? He sent you a dick pic. Okay, so go ahead.
I meet this guy who's like, I met you over with Coolio a couple years ago. And he has a deep voice, a deep raspy. Me and Coolio have a new nightclub. We want you to do comedy there. It's a Coolio Social Club. It's in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, right? And he's like, what do you charge? So I gave him a price. He's like, all right, done. Thursday and Friday, I'm flying you out, right? So he flies me out, right? Spirit Airlines, first class, all right? Flies me out, right.
Which just means the front seat on Spirit Airlines.
It's actually worse because your seats don't even go back in the front. Right. I'm not going to go back in the back either, right? So I get out and this guy picks
you should have told him, like, I would rather fly cargo on FedEx than first class on Spirit. But okay, go ahead.
Don Fry's here. Shit.
Yay!
So he flies me 2 hours to Pittsburgh, right? And he goes, I'm going to have a driver meet you, right? So I mean, like 6 hours of red eye, and it's a 2 hour drive to Phillipsburg, right? So it's a town of 2,000 people in this town. So I get there and then he puts me up. He goes, you got you staying at the We Are Inn, right? Which is exactly, it's on the side of the highway. It looks like a murder scene. Like, we are in, right? We are in, right? So I get out and the guy meets me there and he goes, right across the street, that's where I got a DUI last year. I ran into a dam, right? He goes, took a picture of it and my car was hanging over the thing. And then it goes, catch of the day, right? Like, so they made a team, 7 million people, right? So I get to the social club that night. It's about 40, 45 people that could fit in there. Like, it's at capacity, and there's like slot machines everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know gambling was legal. He goes, oh, no, this is not gambling. These are video games with money, where you win money. He goes, I actually sued the whole state of Pennsylvania. He shows me his lawsuit. And he somehow won.
And he carries around with him for some reason.
Dude, so then, you know, we've talked about this before, Adam. You don't gotta say yes to everything. So, all right.
So before the show, I ask him, I'm like, were you scared of going to prison, right? After you got a DUI? He goes, nah. He goes, I did 10 years in prison, a hard time. He goes, I was looking at 30 to life, but luckily the prosecutor was corrupt and used falsified. They said I shot 10 people. I didn't shoot 10 people, right? So he tells me about prison. I go,
what? 29.
I go, what
exactly,
were you?
Exactly, exactly.
Don, you got to meet this guy. You would love this guy. Absolutely love this guy. I go, what'd you go to prison for? He goes, oh, I was a Latin king. I'm going to go, but you're not Latin. He goes, they let me in, right? And I like, and I believe him, right? Because he's like, I'm getting rid of my tats right now. And he's got tats that are removed all over him, right? He's got 5 daughters working the place, right? They're all like high school. I'm like, one of them's 14, right? He goes, yeah, I homeschool her. She's a tattoo artist, right? She's 14-year-old tattoo artist, right? And I'm like, he goes, yeah, I got 5 daughters with 5 different mamas. It's a long story, but I'm taking care of all of them, right? So the opening act goes on. And this place is like, if you think of like a Trump rally times 50, like that, I don't know why it's called Coolio's. I even said that. I'm like, tomorrow night I'm playing Sir Mix-a-Lot's basement. After that, I'm doing Young MC's backyard. I go, if Coolio came back to the show, he would see it and then kill himself. If he came back to life. So they bring me an opener. The opener goes on and she's like, talks about being a lesbian. She's like, I used to be a lesbian, but now I have a boy. I'm married, but my fiance is in prison. He's got long hair. He's beautiful. And I peg him every night before he went to jail. Oh. Right. So now the crowd.
Well, at least he's ready.
Right.
So now the crowd is horrified. So she gets off and she does like 6 minutes, supposed to do 30. She doesn't come back the next night, right? She doesn't, she just leaves.
Oh my God. She's like, that's it. All right.
And during my set, she sits in the front of the front row, like the very front seat. And I'm just like, come, which you fucking hate as a comic. You know, you don't do it to another.
Yeah. Person. Like, what are you doing there? Yeah. You're not an audience member. You stand on the side. So you stand in the back.
So the people there were so nice. I mean, these are some real like old, like nice backwoods. So this guy's telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, I work for 50 years. That's my son. He's got autism, but he's a rapper. Right. So,
Naturally.
Go, yeah, of course.
I go, is his name Little Spectrum? His name Little Spectrum, right? So then he goes, he was getting money from the government, but he told me, Dad, I want to earn my own money. I don't want to just get free money, right? So I'm on stage and I tell the story. I go, now you know he has autistic. I'm going to take the free fucking money, you idiot, right? And the kid's dying laughing, right? So then I get an audition, right, for a good audition for a show. So I got to buy a shirt. Before I go in, I go next door to buy a shirt. It's a thrift store. So I go in there. I'm like, hey, is it a thrift store? And the girl goes, well, most of the people that own these clothes are deceased. So we take them off deceased people. I'm like,
Yeah, the mortuary next door should have been your first clue.
any bullet holes? Any bullet holes or knife holes, anything like that? Blood stains?
So I have an audition, and they come, and I tell the people there afterwards, the people came to my motel with a suit. Some guy gave me a suit. He's like, my stepdad gave me, because I had to wear a suit in the audition. He goes, and they brought me this light. Like, they're the nicest fucking people you ever meet. Like, just beyond nice. But so then the next night I go, and the guy who runs the place, his jail cellmates were there. They came to, like, they're all friends, right? So one guy has an eye patch. And he tells me, he goes, it looks like the Undertaker plus 100 pounds, right? And he goes, I got an eye patch, but next time I'm in town, I'll be your driver. I'm like, I like my drivers with two eyes. Then there's like, what?
Next time.
I'm blind in one eye, can't see all the other.
There's a couple of beast looking girls there, right? Well, I mean, you know, so then this girl's like very flirty. She comes up to me, she's like, hey, you know, I saw that you're married, but I do couples and this and that and, you know, all this shit, right? So she works at the...
Sounds like she was a hooker.
No.
More than a... She wasn't flirting with you. She was trying to get your business.
Anything about a price?
So there's some guys...
I do couples?
So some guy says, watch out for her. I go, why? He goes, she likes to get peed on. I go, what? He goes, yeah.
I like to pee on them.
I just drank four beers.
So they said they made a video where somebody bought a pee tape off her. So she likes to get peed on, dude. It was like the next night, right? So there's no more opener, right? Because the opener quit. So the guy's like, hey, can you do 2.5 hours?
Oh my God.
Who are you, Dave Chappelle, right after Africa?
Oh, the places you'll go.
He goes, I'll give you an extra. And he named a really good number. So I was sure, right? So I do 2 hours and 15 minutes, right? Then at the end, I go back to my, you know, we are in, and they all bang on my door. They all know where I'm staying. And they're like, hey, come out with us. I'm like, guys, I'm tired. They're like, oh,
not
no.
Because you mention it on stage or because they know the guy that runs the We Are In. So.
Well, that too. So they take me to a club that's connected to the We Are In, like in the back. And it's the same people that were at this place. And now they're all just even drunker, getting more and more fucked up. Some guy tells me, he goes, oh, man, you inspire me. He goes, I got a tattoo. You want to see it? So I'm like, sure. He goes, it's a butterfly. It's a stick of butter. It's a stick of butter with two fly, like two butterfly. Dude, it just gets.
Was it on his asshole or what?
That's what I think. Was it a tramp? Was it right above his dick? Was it,
Dude. Oh, and then during the second show, right? So some old guy's heckling, right? Some old guy, he thinks it's a conversation. He just won't stop talking to me. And a nice guy, but like, I'm like, all right, dude, I got this. So finally they kick him out. But like, 19 people kicked them out. Like, you got to come. So now half the crowd leaves to take this guy out, right? So now I'm saying like the lesbians go, the prison warden. I'm like, is there a line to punch this guy? I'm like, show him the fucking light. He'll walk towards it. I'm like, how many people to kick out 105-year-old man? So that was my experience.
Apparently more than 76 million. I don't know. So
they're trying to find a way to, a polite way to walk out on your show.
Exactly. They're like, I'll take them out. And everyone's like, I'll take them out too. Yeah.
I do have
it's not their fault. I mean, 2.5 hours is a lot of Adam. I mean,
dude, what? They kept offering me moonshine. One guy had a homemade moonshine. Oh. I drank.
Don't take it. I've made that mistake before. Then who knows what the rest of the show was like? I wasn't there.
Dude. Adam, next time when he needs an opener or somebody to share the 2.5 hours with you, the owner should just have his 14-year-old hit up Chris D'Elia. Like, I guarantee you she'll at least get a text back. Like, I don't know if he'll do the show, but I guarantee you he'll respond at very least. I can negotiate from there.
Dude, I was on stage going, like, how many wrong turns did I make in my life to get here at the Coolio Social Club? But Greg, let me know if you want to do the gig. It pays really well.
After all that, of course Greg wants to do it.
Now, in first class on Spirit, you say? You know, that's the thing. I have an easier time saying no than you do. That's just one of those things where I'm going to be like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I'm going to.
Dude, there was a guy in the back who looked like, another guy looked like The Undertaker. And he was like, they were like biker friends of this owner. And I was like, he's like, yeah, I did some time. I'm like, why? He's like, for fighting. I'm like, oh, were you a good fighter? He's like, listen, I'm the kind of guy that I could break bones. He's like, I'm a bone breaker, right? He goes, I know how to kill people with my finger. But for some reason, I believed him. Like, other people,
it's called a trigger. A fucking trigger.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's called showing up with a sledgehammer.
I thought it was death by 1,000 peggings.
Dude, he told me back in the day, he goes, back in the day, we used to have drive-in fights. I go, what is that? He's like, we'd all go to the drive-in, and I went 34-1. I finally right. broke my head.
Every legendary street fighter always has that one on the end of the record
because they make
it more believable. I went 601.
Yeah.
So, Don, how you doing, man? Where have you been?
I've been hiding from the world, man. You know, shit.
The world needs more Don Bryan, buddy. Don't hide from us.
Yeah, don't I look good?
You do. You look great as always.
There's a video that went viral about you calling everyone sissies with Karen Bryant. I seen it like 90 times.
Yeah, that was like 10, 15 years ago. Yeah.
That was at my fight that Don commentated and hurt my feelings. I didn't know Don. I just met him that weekend. And the first time I got kicked in the fight, Don goes, McCoy looks like he's ready to quit. Like, and I actually heard it in the fight. And I turned and looked at Don. I was like, dude, that's my hero saying after one kick, I'm ready to quit. 10 seconds in. I was like, that broke my heart. But then after the fight, I got to watch a drunk and high Carl Parisian argue with a drunk Don on who was a better generation of fighters, even though they were both from the same generation. It was very cool. I listened to that for like 2 hours. I was in tears, man, mostly from him saying I was ready to quit after the first kick. But
oh, that's so funny. So yesterday, I took my daughter to a fairy hunt, right? They have a thing where it's like a play. In like the park where they have these girls dressed up as fairies and they want all the kids dressed up as fairies and they go hunt the fairies, right? With like a live action play, you know, like one of those. Like, so I take my daughter, I find out about this. I take my daughter. There's like 9 little girls dressed up as fairies. It's the cutest thing. And one brother dressed up as Darth Vader and with a sword.
He didn't get the memo, huh?
With a sword. And I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm here to kill the fairies.
That's good, but if you touch this one, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, right. I was like, whose kid is this? And then the mom was like, it's mine. And she was like, she's like, I love my son's the best or something. But every time there's like, I go to his school and there's like nine drawings of like snowmen. My kid is the one with the horns and fire and everything. Is like, he's got a machine gun. anyway, the fights. You guys watch the fights to Islam versus Volk?
Yes.
Yes, so a friend of mine was nice enough to send me an illegal stream. So it was.
That link would not come through. I kept not getting the link at all. And then I did see the highlights, though. So I do know what happened in that one fight in particular. But the rest of the time I was doing shows, so I didn't get a chance to see it yet.
Now, I'll just go first. So I thought it was a good decision. I hate to say it. I wanted Volk to win. I really did. I think the rounds he won a little more, But I thought he lost.
Are you talking the main? Wait, are you talking the main event?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was 3-2 Islam.
No, so no, you got it wrong.
Why?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I think the Russian, the Australian-Russian one, you know, I think he pursued. He was more aggressive. He was on the constant attack. And I think he threw more significant strikes.
I mean, I can see how you thought that, but I didn't think it was a robbery. I didn't think it was a robbery. Sean, you?
I thought he won the last 60 seconds of the fight.
Right.
Other than that, there was one round that one of the judges scored for Volkanovski that he had his back for 4.5 minutes of the 5-minute round. And I don't know how, like, I was sitting there thinking, if you score it by wrestling, Makhachev won. If you score it by jiu-jitsu, Makhachev won. If you score it by boxing and kickboxing, Makhachev won. If you score it by anything but cardio, like any kind of even taekwondo rules, like in the three times he dropped Makhachev, if you go back and watch it in slow motion, he didn't connect on any of those three times. Those were literally all three slips. One time he punched his shoulder, which threw him off balance. One time he completely missed and Makhachev slipped going for a takedown. So yeah, I don't know. Watching it, I mean, to hear Joe Rogan and Brendan Schaub tell it, it wasn't even close, like, which is crazy. People keep telling me that. But I thought 3-2 was a fair decision. He did. I think if they'd kept fighting, he would have won eventually, like if there weren't a limit on rounds, you know. And he looked better than, I don't know, Makhachev. That's the first time I've seen him look tired. And he started at 45 seconds in, looking exhausted. So
yeah.
I'm nobody to criticize anybody's cardio, but it's he was off, it seemed like to me, man. I don't know. Or Volkanovski's that good.
Well, here's what Dan Hooker, right? Dan Hooker, who lost to Islam, who's teammates with Volkanovski, or the, you know, they're, I don't know, they train together. So he writes, dumb cunt thinks he can fly to Australia, hire a nurse to give him an IV. We won't find out. Cheating dog. This is obviously about Islam. I'm confused about the IVs. Why are they so illegal?
They won't let you do
it. They don't know.
Yeah.
Because they are stupid. They're fucking stupid, and they don't understand, you know, anything about sports or a competition or anything like that. And so they come up with stupid-ass rules and with serve no purpose and just fuck everything up.
Yeah.
It seems like a dumbass rule. I mean, all they're doing is rehydrating. I mean, right. They got to rehydrate. Yeah.
Right, the reasoning right. behind it is that they could be doing blood doping by using an IV during camp, which I have a crazy idea for them. Test them before they receive their IV to rehydrate and see if they have any of the residue of plastic in their blood. And if they don't, then they obviously haven't been doing the blood transfusion and let them rehydrate with an IV. It's so stupid, man.
Or just give them the IV bag. Like it has to come just, from them.
Have somebody from the commission in the fucking locker room.
Yeah. You know? I mean, rehydrate, what? So you have to drink it? Like, oh, no, you can't just rehydrate. We have to watch you drink it. Like, no, just make it an IV bag that they issue. Here you go. Here's some fluids, you know, with it from our supply. There you go.
Well, they're saying during their camps, they're doing blood transfusions or could be with an IV. So that's why IVs are completely banned. Like, because you can take someone else's blood and, like, put, you know what I mean, double the red blood cells and put it back in. But, I mean, what happens if you have to go to the hospital and you're sick? You can't get an IV? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be more dangerous to not get an IV?
Yeah, that's what's so stupid. They're trying to protect the other guy, like, but you're actually hurting the guy who's not getting the IV. It's so, so stupid, man. God, the whole thing's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's that was, and then the other fight, the co-main event, what's the name is the most frustrating fighter? Yair Rodriguez, because he looked amazing. He looked incredible. And because the guy he beat is like legit good, but that was. So now they're the interim. Now what? So now they fight. It's going to be Volkanovski against Pierre for the belt.
Yeah. Well, I want to know. What I want to know is who now is the 155-pound champ, because he hasn't defended it for 48 hours. So he's the interim 155-pound champ, because I think that's the limit you have, 48 hours as champ before. They should just make every fight a title fight. Like, they really should. Just every fight be a title fight.
Crazy.
It seemed to me, having just watched the highlights of the Volkanovski fight, it seemed like if he had 10 more seconds, he was about to put him away. I mean, that's what it looked like at the very end. And all I kept thinking was, dude, why'd you save it? Why'd you wait till now? I only saw the highlights. I wouldn't see how it all played out. But it seemed like that last minute, he almost knocked him the fuck out. And I think that's what really upset him when the announcement came out, because it was like he had him this close to being put away.
It was also, also in Australia. He had the whole crowd behind him.
Yeah.
Every time he did good, it was like you couldn't even hear. And also, he was the underdog, and he was also the smaller guy. So it was one of those things sometimes where if it's close, you give it to the guy who should lose versus the guy who really won, you know. But it was it could have went either way. It was a good fight. I felt bad for Randy Brown, because that dude, another guy who sometimes just looks unbeatable and then just got rough. Parker Posey.
What about Alonzo Minifield? He fought to a draw, a majority draw. That was the one I bet on that. I actually, it counted as a win, shockingly. I paired it with Makhachev. And so, but it came up a majority draw. What happened with that?
No, I hate to say it, but I think he got lucky, because I'm the biggest Minifield fan. So the first round, he goes out and almost finishes him. It almost like could have been a 10-8. Like he just, it was very close. The other guy was out of the seat, but he was fighting back. It wasn't like he second round, he loses. He loses the second round. And the third, so basically it was like 1-1. And then in the third round, if I remember correctly, he like grabbed the cage while he was getting taken down. So they took a point away. So then, and then he still lost the round. So he really lost. I don't know. He only won the first round, but they called it a draw. So yeah. I don't know how that happened. But it was pretty awesome because I like Alonzo a lot, but that was also weird officiating. And then Parker Posey, I forgot his name. He got his ass. He got rocked. He got killed.
Football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You always find the latest football odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports and events. Bet Major League Baseball, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
What's up, people? Listen, I got to talk to you about HelloFresh. All right. Now, with HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. My wife and I, we had the best meal we've had in ages, thanks to HelloFresh. I'm telling you. You could skip trips to the grocery store, and you can count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Not number two, not number three, number one. Look, we all have New Year's goals, right? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you achieve them. Skip the grocery store and take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your door. Are you looking for an easy way to eat well and save money this year? I know I am. Okay. So cut back on those expensive takeout and delivery. Yeah. You go out there, it's gas, and you get there and you got to pay for parking and this and that. People are, it annoys you. Listen, HelloFresh has you covered. Okay. You'll love how fast, easy, and affordable it is to just whip up a recipe and just, you get a restaurant quality meal right in your own kitchen. All right. Eating well is top of the mind this month. It's comforting to know you're always get top quality with HelloFresh. The ingredients travel all the way from the farm to you in less than 7 days. So you know they're fresh, okay? I'm telling you, my wife, we've had the greatest meals. I am so happy for HelloFresh, all right? So you got to do this. Go to HelloFresh.com/Roasted21 and use code Roasted21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping, okay? HelloFresh.com/Roasted21 and use code Roasted21, like I just said, for 21 free meals plus free shipping. All right. Check out HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Any other fights you want to talk about, Don or Sean?
No, I thought Yair Rodriguez, man, if when he fights, that's what everybody's asking me for. Did I send you guys the list of the fights I didn't bet on? And then, I think I sent that to you, right? Like, I didn't bet.
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
I went 10-2, giving advice to my friend, and I didn't bet. So 10-2 on the fights. even told him how the two would play out. The Yair would finish the guy and that Makhachev win by decision. And so after the fights, I'm like, dude, he asked me three or four times. So I spent a half an hour looking at the fights and giving him my picks. And then he goes, oh man, my bad. I didn't bet. And I'm like, pass me through my picks repeatedly. He asks three or four times. So then I go through and look at it all, send it to him, and then he doesn't bet or whatever, which is really weird to me. But yeah, I was telling everybody that if Yair comes to fight, he'll win pretty handily. If he doesn't, he'll lose. You know, you never know which version of him you're getting, man. You really don't.
100%. You know, dude, that just goes to show you no good deed goes unpunished.
Of course.
You know, the more you try and help people, this is something I didn't bring up from the weekend. So there's a comedian who we know, I'll tell you, anyways, he reaches out to me. He's like, hey, you're in Phoenix. I'm in Phoenix. Do you think I can get a guest spot on your show? I'm like, yeah, you know, all right. You know, come for the late show. I'll give you a guest spot. He gets a 5-minute guest spot, gets up there. And he's doing, you know, he's doing okay. You know, it's 5 minutes. What do you, you know? So he does it. And at the end of the fight, you know, they give him the light, like 40. He's like, all right, I want everyone to take out their phones right now. And I want you to follow me on social media. And I'm like, the fuck are you doing? You're up there for 4 fucking minutes. Get the fuck off my stage. Oh, my God. I wanted to kill this motherfucker. I was like, how dare you on a 5-minute, everyone take your phones out, look me up, here's my name, follow me right now. Like, oh my God, I wanted to fucking kill this guy. Just etiquette, comics, fucking etiquette. You only do that on your show. It's not, you shouldn't do it anyway, because the last thing you want is people looking at their phone, because they're going to see all the other shit they need to see on their phone, and now they're looking at the fucking phones. So you don't want to do that anyway during a show, but if you do that at the very end, if it's not your show, don't fucking do it, especially not on a 5-minute fucking guest spot. God damn it, I wanted to kill this motherfucker.
You could do a job and just buy followers. That's what I would do. Job's the only guy in the world that's got 1 million followers on Twitter and gets 3 likes and 4 retweets on every post. Like, dude, how in the hell are you don't have any interactions between your 1 million followers? That's crazy.
I did a show one time in Fresno, and the guy did a 4-minute guest set, and I guess he sold scooters. So he went up there with a scooter. And did like 1 minute of jokes and 3 minutes on pitching a scooter. And then he had him in the back and was trying to sell them after the show to everybody. And not one person bought a scooter. Like,
that's amazing. That might be the best story I've ever heard.
Dude, one time I saw a guy come in, asked for a guest spot, and then begged everybody to buy his CD on the way out after 5 minutes. And then he's just sitting there with his fucking CD like, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Stop it. Stop it. It's like, I'll give you $20. Just stop fucking holding up your CD. You look stupid.
Man, so this Friday night, it's Knucklemania, bare knuckle boxing. I know we're all excited. It's actually a great card. So this guy, Lorenzo Hunt, he's the guy that beat Hector Lombard. He's like this black dude who's like the Debo of bare knuckle boxing. He's the bully, right?
Right, right.
So he goes out there and he's got strippers and he's throwing money when he walks out with like 5 girls and they're twerking and like, you know,
he's my hero. I'm already into it.
When he fought Joe Riggs, he gave him an apple for some reason at the weigh-in and he tried to put it in his mouth.
I'm looking so hard for the connection there and I've got nothing. Like, is it Adam and Eve? Like, what is he going for with that? I don't know. Yeah.
He's gonna fuck him up the ass. I did that with a chick one time. I shoved an apple in her mouth, you know, put her on her hands and knees, and drilled her, and she bit through that apple, shot it across the room.
Wait, hold on. Can we talk about this for a second? So there was a girl that wanted you to fuck her in the ass, and you put an apple in her mouth?
Yeah, yeah.
What more to the story did you think there was?
But like, why did you?
Truth be known, it was a hog roast, and Don confused the pig for a girl.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this must have been a chubby chick. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
They're like, why is there a fire underneath you? Like Don was asking the chick.
Yeah. It's like, boy, her skin's real dry. Her skin's real dry. Here's a moisturizer. We're doing it again.
You get an apple by your bed? Or you went to get an apple and you knew you were doing anal sex and then
why are you so obsessed with this story? It's a 5-second story.
Yeah, that's
Adam's going to tell his wife. Adam's going to tell his wife that story and be like, "What would you think about something like that?" And then he's going to bite into an apple.
By the way, Sean gave me a book to read on how to save your marriage, basically. I've been reading the book. Great book, Sean. Highly recommend this book. It's called For Men Only. And it's
which is also the title of Bruce Buffer's autobiography.
So basically but it got me into a fight, Sean, because I was doing it all wrong. Like basically one of the things that I was doing was when you get married, it's basically saying when you get married, it means you have to stop trying to romance your wife or stop, you know, going on dates, but you should act the same way when you're married that you did when you tried to get your wife. And, right. And I wasn't always
so doing. Cheat. So fuck four other women, and then try and figure out which ones you've told what story to.
No, you pay her. You pay her first. You know.
So I'm working on that. And my wife's like, "Well, what'd you learn in the book, right?" So of course, like I didn't want to give her a fucking book report, you know, but I'm like, okay, she wants to hear what I read in the books. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you because I'm not going to be able to really paraphrase it. It's just not going to sound, you have to kind of read the book. Plus it's for men only. And so then she's like, so then I finally told her, and she's like, yeah, you know, because when we first started, and then gave me a fucking list of things I did wrong, right? So then
that's what I'm saying, exactly. Like, you don't want to do any of that.
So then I was like, no, I'm not saying that really happened. That's your, she's like, well, that was my truth. But your truth is, so now we get into a fucking blowout. So now because of this book, we got into a huge fight because I'm like, no, I will not admit that I did these things because I don't think I did these things. I mean, and I know the book's going to say, well, it's about how you're feeling. That's what the therapist is going to say. And that's what you're going to say. But I'm not going to say I did this because I will be admitting that I did this crime. And I'm like, why don't I just start accusing you of shit and then just say, well, you didn't. So anyway, but we made up and everything's okay.
Your first mistake was taking marital advice from anyone on this podcast. The fuck, yeah. About McCorkle's life made you think, oh, this has got to be pointing me in the right direction. look what it did for McCorkle. I mean, this has got to be great.
The author also has a book called For Women Only that explains how they should act, but don't expect any woman you're in a relationship with to read it or act upon it. They're only interested in improving yourself. But no.
Yeah, after the initial fight, Sean, it's been much, much better. And I thank you for this book. So thank you.
It's one of the few I would recommend to anybody because it actually explains how crazy women are. After I was done reading it, I was like, this is the craziest shit I've ever read in my life. But it all works. It all works, man. It's crazy.
No, they have the name
of the book.
It's called For Men Only. They have a disclaimer saying this book is not politically correct. and there's a lot of things that are not gonna, that you're gonna, people are gonna be offended by in this book, but we don't care. This is what we found.
I think you need to share with us some nuggets from Men Only. I want to hear some of the incredible non-politically incorrect advice. Maybe it's great. I don't know. Let's hear.
Well, they interview like 5,000 women, and it's all based on like their answers. So you're like, oh shit, that's actually. They're not even saying that like we think this is true. They're saying these girls that were interviewed said this is true. So
here's the one I remember. The biggest takeaway is when a woman has a problem and wants to talk to you about it, she doesn't want an answer. She doesn't want a solution. She doesn't want your advice. She wants you to understand how she feels.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the crux. Okay, understand how you feel. What does that do for you? It just verifies I'm not crazy. Well, you are crazy, but okay. Like now I understand how you felt and then everything's better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I cut my arm off every time I wash the dishes. Well, maybe don't do it with the chainsaw. Like, oh, why are you trying to tell me what to do? Like, instead of, oh, how's that feel when you get your arm cut off? You know, like, it's something. But if you want to read the one for women about men, women also think it's crazy, but it's exactly right on everything. Like everything. Like, I read it. I was like, that is, if a woman would act like this, everything would be fine. Most chapters were just keep going.
For Women Only, wake up, blowjob.
Yeah.
Lunchtime, make lunch, blowjob.
More or less.
Dinner, make dinner, blowjob.
One of the funniest.
Big dinner, anal, with an apple.
Chapter one through three are keep your mouth shut. Like that was chapters one through three.
One of the funniest.
Jesus, no,
stop. One of the hardest I ever laughed.
Lose some weight.
One of the hardest I ever had, Greg Wilson, laugh was when I had a show called Kamikaze Comedy. We ran up to people and just started telling jokes, right? And so we run up to this, there's like nine women having a picnic.
Oh my God.
And they're just sitting there, like, I don't know, having an Oprah book club, whatever. So it's like Sunday morning, like 10 a.m. I run up to them, I go, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Wilson. And this is Greg like 15 years ago, right? Well, so Greg has matured a lot and, you know, like everyone else. This was like Greg out of a cannon. So he rolls up to them. Ladies, how's it going? You know, he goes, you guys did the book out called The Secret. You know, The Secret? The Secret? And everyone's like, I'll be ready. He goes, Secret has learned to suck some dick.
Yeah, real quick.
Like, that's The Secret.
Dude, the camera guy's on the ground, like the sound guy's fucking laughing. There's like one lady dying laughing and four women that are just like, what the fuck? What happened to our Bible study? This is fucking crazy.
I saw one of Adam's clips. I don't know. You were doing this speed dating thing and you were saying the most offensive things I've ever seen anybody say. And I found it weird. The younger girls that you would be considered more attractive were offended and like got up and walked away. You've got a cougar on there that nothing you said to her could move her. She was unshakable. She was smiling, laughing at it all. And it just proves that if a woman finds you attractive, you're suddenly.
Dude, that woman, something was off. Like you're she didn't know what. We had Corey Holcomb there, who Corey's like the funniest, most offensive comic I've ever seen. And he goes up there and he goes to that woman. He goes, yeah, you know, I was watching The Roots the other day. You ever watch Roots, right? And the lady goes, oh, I watched The Wire.
That's like chapter 38 of The Roots. Of Roots.
What?
Like, I watch what happened later because of Roots. Jesus.
So I'm so confused what you guys are talking about, but I just keep thinking of great jokes.
Okay, Roots is about slavery.
I knew that. Yeah, I knew that, but I don't know what
The Wire is about criminality.
Yeah, I mean, oh, shit. Like, it's like ridiculous. It's like, oh, you ever hear Martin Luther King? Oh, I know A$AP Rocky. You're like
right.
Like what? Oh. Like, all right. So Lorenzo Hunt is fighting this guy, Mike Richmond, in bare knuckle boxing. Richmond is a guy who former Marine, now runs a couple strip clubs in Minnesota, tatted up and fucking hits like a brick. He's the guy that beat what's his name? Dakota Cochran. Remember, which, by the way, one of the funniest things I ever tell was, so Dakota Cochran, really nice guy, great guy. You know, on the Ultimate Fighter, he admitted to doing gay porn to pay through college, right? So right. I remember bringing that up on the podcast, and I hear Don Fry. I can't even see him here. I went to college. I never had to pay to do gay porn.
I was going to say, Pizza Hut wasn't hiring. You couldn't deliver some pizzas. You had to fuck dudes.
That he was delivered some option. Pizzas in the videos. Trust me. He was one of the videos he delivered.
Well, yeah. He did deliver the pizza. I mean, what exactly? Yeah. Oh, my God. I just
The funniest thing ever was they asked me about it unsuspectingly in an interview. I had no idea. I'd never heard of him. And I was like, wait, his actual name is Dakota Cochran and his porn name was Billy. Like, I don't understand. I mean, like Dakota Cochran is far more a gay porn name than Billy, you know?
Totally. And, all you gotta do is put a G on the end.
Yeah. They were asking me if I would ever do gay porn. I said, well, for the right price, I'd do pretty much anything, you know? And I said, not like $1 million, maybe $1,020,000, just making a joke. And they titled the interview, to this day, it's up. Sean McCorkle admits he'd do gay porn for the right price. Like, that was the title of the article. It was 10 seconds of a 45 minute interview that they took. And that's what they titled it. And I was just like, my mom sent it to me. My daughter sent it to me. My daughter's like 14 at the time. Like, Dad, can you quit doing stuff like this? It's embarrassing. Sent me. I said, I didn't know that's what they were going to call it. I'm sorry. Like, it just.
Also on this card, Austin Trout, who's like a world champion, former world champion boxer. I think he went the distance against Alvarez. He's fighting Diego Sanchez in bare knuckle boxing. This should not be legal. I don't know what. I mean, this is just awful.
Wait, doesn't that Diego have a regular boxing match coming up too?
I don't know. He's doing Knuckle Mania this Friday night.
I think he's got in a couple weeks. I think he's got a regular boxing match on George Masvidal's boxing.
Oh no, not Diego. That's Pettis. He's doing against Roy Jones Jr.
I know, but I think Diego's on that card too. I'm almost positive.
Oh no.
I hope he's not double and triple scheduling fights.
Like, I was going to say, does he have enough skin on his face for these fights?
Let me make sure I'm not.
Remember when he started coming out to Tony Robbins? That was the best.
Like, just saying yes.
Yeah. That was also on the card is John Dodson, who's been murdering people in bare knuckle boxing. John Dodson is just killing everybody. Like he's like 30 seconds knocking him out. I'm excited about that. And
if you've never seen John Dodson on cocaine, you don't know what you're missing because he's hyper enough without cocaine. But I was in a club one night and he was on something. It was out of control. And then that guy who's the guy that's on Fox Sports that thinks he's an MMA trainer, but he sucks real bad. Oh my God, the short fat bald dude that always thinks he's Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer comes in with his chest. He's like 5'2", comes in with his chest sticking out looking for trouble. And one of the UFC fighters, I don't even remember who it was, told me, said, dude, if he keeps walking around like that, he's going to find what he's looking for. I'm telling you right now, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he's walking around real cocky, like staring people down and stuff. Doesn't realize he's at a UFC fighter party. Like he doesn't recognize some of the fighters. And then I swear to God, I was talking to, what's his name? The real funny guy that came out like Hulk Hogan and Dan Severn, fighter that used to come out.
That guy was great.
I can't remember. I'm friends with him. I can't remember his name.
He does wrestling, right? Pro wrestling?
Yeah. But anyway, he texts me. We were hanging out. He texts me. He goes, dude, I'm sorry. I gotta take off. My friend just knocked out Jay Glazer in the bathroom, like his fighter friend did or whatever, because Glazer was walking around trying to be a tough guy. Knocked out in the bathroom. So, yeah, it was in Vegas. It was so awesome. But he was Jay Glazer was looking for trouble, and he found it. So
one of my first jiu-jitsu classes, I go up against Jay Glazer. And I don't know, all I know is wrestling. So I'm doing well wrestling. And then he goes for a rolling heel hook against me.
Naturally.
And I guess he's pretty good at it. And then the instructor flipped on him. And he's like, what are you doing? You're going to break his fucking ankle. It's his first day. And he goes, he's got to learn somehow.
He's like, listen, I'm short. Like that's all he said. Like,
by the way, John Fry, I asked Dominic Cruz about this, right? He says it absolutely happened.
Uh-huh.
You went to San Diego to train boxing with Dominic Cruz. Halfway through, you threw a head kick and knocked him down and said, keep your hands up.
You got to learn somehow.
Right.
Did this happen?
I don't remember. I don't remember. If it's new to me, but who am I to tell him somebody's memory?
In Don's defense, it was a leg kick he threw, and it still hit Dominic Cruz in the head and knocked him out. So,
because I asked him, I said, hey man, because when I was asking everyone to call you in the hospital, did he ever head kick you during a boxing only sparring session, or was that a rooper? That he goes, that happened, and judging from my last couple losses, he was onto something.
Listen, exactly. Gotta learn somehow.
It's pretty cool that Cruz said that, actually. And also this week in bare knuckle boxing, my friend Josh Watson, right? Which he's this like big tatted fucking guy. Like, I mean, he's one of these guys that looks like Sons of Anarchy tattooed head, and he's the nicest guy ever. He is fighting Greg Hardy in bare knuckle boxing this Friday night. Greg Hardy.
You better get off first.
Yeah.
Because Hardy only got to touch you once.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a lot of technique. He doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's all power.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Greg Hardy, that's crazy. You ever think he like thinks to himself, like, man, I should have fucking not fucked around so much in football?
Yeah.
He should have stayed in shape in the offseason or something. Yeah.
Although he may be one of those guys that just likes fighting more. Maybe that was always the problem. Football wasn't violent enough for him. You know? He may be like, fuck, this is what I was missing. I just like beating on dudes. Fuck rules and refs and, and can't put your hands in. He may be in love with it. He may think it's the greatest decision he's ever made. So, but there's no way he's making the same money.
How good was he at football?
He was pretty amazing.
I think he was all pro a year or two, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, he was a dominant force for sure. I mean, that's why they kept getting so many chances. Because when you could keep him on the field, he was fucking fantastic. But he just kept making too many mistakes off the field.
I think once he beat up his girlfriend or wife or whatever it was, I think they pretty much were done with him, man.
Pretty much. They were like, you know what? Okay, you're gone. So, but, he had the – He was on the field. He was a dominator. He could have been. He really could have been a Hall of Famer if he would have been able to keep his nose clean and really stick to football.
Don, what do you think of the happening?
The funny thing is, when the UFC caught me, they said the Joe Silva texted me, said the risk just isn't worth the reward. And I was like, I've never been arrested. I've never because I say funny stuff online, the risk isn't worth the reward, you know. But also, he asked me to quit saying racist stuff on Twitter, and I texted him back and said, "What if it's really funny though?" And he just said, "Oh my God," back to him, and didn't say anything else back to me. And then I tweeted later on, "There's two things I hate: racism and interracial dating." And I got my walking papers shortly after that. So.
Speaking of Twitter, so
you know, there's a real common thread in your career, McCorkle, and it's people asking you not to do something, and you're just doubling down.
Always.
I like how it was walking. It was walking papers, not as running papers, because cardio is never.
my slow walking papers out the building.
Is that in that for men only book? Yeah. From that, like, here's what you want to do. Whatever she tells you not to do, do it twice as much.
Men only.
So speaking,
the best of- was my first warning. Sorry, my first warning from the UFC came when I was dating a Native American girl. And she said she was on her college rowing team on text message. And I said, "I bet you can canoe like a motherfucker," which is a great joke.
That's funny.
And I screenshot it, put on Twitter. That's when I got my warning from Joe Silva. It said, "Hey, Sean, Joe Silva, UFC, I need you to do me a favor." I said, "Anything you want, Joe." I was just trying to keep them happy. He goes, "Will you stop saying racist shit on Twitter?" And I said, "What if it's really funny, though?" That's when I responded to that. And then,
you didn't mean it when you said anything you want. You didn't.
Anything minus making Native American jokes.
Exactly. Anything except telling me what to do. Go ahead.
I find that Native Americans, by the way, laugh the hardest. They're the best audience members. They don't. They laugh so hard. Now, speaking of Twitter, Sean Strickland is allowed back on Twitter. Elon Musk lifted his ban. So he's been on a rampage. He writes today or yesterday, "I might be in Boulder, Colorado next week. Any decent gyms out that way? I can probably spar with Pat Barry. What middle school does he hang out at?"
Oh, shit.
Oh!
What the fuck? They're on a string. I got reinstated on Twitter. Did I tell you guys that? After being banned for 2 years, I'm back on. Twitter sent me a message that said if I would remove my tweet that says kill Whitey, like hashtag kill Whitey, they would reinstate me. I didn't even remember writing that, but I was like, okay, I'll delete it. And then I'm back on Twitter again.
So, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. So I won't be long, but apparently I'd said kill Whitey. And also they didn't like my tagline that said, "I don't tolerate racism of any kind. Racism is a crime and crime is for minorities." So they didn't remove that too.
So. What do you think?
Listen to Don, love it.
Greg, what are your thoughts about the Super Bowl halftime show?
Dude, listen, it seems scary as shit, man. I don't care who you are. I'm not getting up on those floating platforms. That was bananas. So, I mean, it was fun though. I mean, Rihanna's got a lot of fucking hits, but obviously she's very limited in what she can do physically. And so, you know, so there was a lot of arm dancing. That's what I noticed. A lot of hand gesturing and, you know, and simple side step, side in, you know, like,
why is she limited physically? I hadn't heard.
Oh, because she's pregnant.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah,
That was like the first thing you notice is that she's on this giant platform floating and she has this giant safety cable attached to her and she's clearly pregnant. So all the dance moves are just like, hands, hello, goodbye. Like, that was it, like, you know, and I'm like, okay.
Remember, you're twerking for two. Like, I don't know.
Somebody said her special guest was a fetus.
You had a good joke about it, your gender reveal party or something like that.
Yeah, it's the most elaborate gender reveal, but it was kind of weird. Like, I would think if you were pregnant, you would have all kinds of different performers, maybe, you know, because if you're limited, maybe they're not limited. But she was like, but she did have so many hits. You're right.
That was the other thing. Like, you forget how many hits she's had till she's just rolling through them one after the other. And you're like, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, man. That one too. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty great. My favorite part, of course, was watching the Philadelphia Eagles eat a dick. That was my favorite part.
Oh, and then Sean, people got mad because she smelled her crotch. She started rubbing her vagina and then smelled it.
For what purpose?
Well, I understand she's gonna
baby was out.
No, I think she's teaming up with Gwyneth Paltrow. She's going to do a collab on some candles, and she keeps testing different.
We should do a cologne called Don Fry's Testicles.
There you go.
You can smell like Don Fry's testicles.
The balls of Don.
Yeah.
Don's
fry grease.
Oh god.
All right, so this Saturday night, Jessica Andrade taking on Erin Blanchfield. Blanchfield is like, she's 23 years old. She's 10-1, coming over a win over Meatball Molly. She also beat JJ Aldrich, Miranda Maverick. Her last loss was to Tracy Cortez in 2019. It was a smoke show. Jessica Andrade, she's the one that beat up Lauren Murphy recently.
Yep.
Built like fucking Daniel Silva.
Oh.
She has an OnlyFans account, which has some crazy pictures. People have sent me. Stop sending me that, please. So,
you're about to get a wave of them. You realize that? Because according to For Men Only, if someone says don't send me those pictures, you send dozens of them immediately. So,
but I guess she said she was pressured into doing OnlyFans. I'm not sure. I gotta read more into this. Who do we like in doing this? Sean, Erin, or Jessica Andrade?
I don't know the Erin girl, so I'll say Andrade just based on she's the only one I've seen fight. She's the girl that slammed Rose Namajunas on her head, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, then I go with her.
Greg?
Well, that, and she's been just vicious lately. She's looked so just world-beating in her fights. I love Andrade in this one, and I don't think it's close.
Don?
Yeah, I'll make it a threesome.
Got it. With an apple.
Don't forget the apple.
I just can't believe, like, you wanted to see how hard she'd bite into the apple by fucking her in the ass. I mean, I'm still very curious about that. Just Jordan Wright. Jordan Wright, who goes by the Beverly Hills Ninja.
Right.
That's his name. He's gotten beat up in his last three fights. He's gotten, like, just beat
up. I feel like that name just, it kind of brings it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who else do you want to beat the shit out of? Some guy? And because he also looks like he, you know, like a Beverly Hills douchebag. So not that he is, but I mean, you look at him and he's a very punchable face. And then with that nickname, who else do you want? I mean, you're going to give him a couple extra with the ref trying to get you off. You know, you're going to be like, nah, I can send him home.
He's fighting. He's fighting Zach the Ripper. Zach the Ripper Pagua. This card, I'm definitely going to watch it, but it's doesn't have that many names. Jim Miller is on the card, taking on Alex Fernandez. Lena Landsberg, who goes by the Elbow Queen, unlike Nick Newell, who's the Elbow King. She's taking on Mayra Buena Silva. OSP is fighting.
The Emperor has no elbow. I don't know.
So,
listen, they can't all be home run, Sean. Welcome to our world.
All right.
So that's that. Jens Pulver got into the Hall of Fame. Good for him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took so long.
I wonder if he was able to bring a plus one, because I know Stefan Bonner, when he got in the Hall of Fame, the UFC charged him for a ticket for his wife to attend his Hall of Fame induction.
God damn.
Stefan Bonner was like, dude, can I borrow $900 from you? I got to buy a ringside seat for my wife to attend my ceremony. I was like, no, seriously. He goes, dude, for real, they won't give me another ticket for her. So
now I heard from a very legitimate source that Phil Baroni's out of jail.
Is it his lawyer?
He's awaiting trial, but he like made bail and he got granted bail and he's out. So that's, I heard that from a legit.
Good.
So good.
I hope he heads straight for the border and gets back here, because he's not going
to
have any.
Where do you escape to? What country do you go to?
Yeah.
Where would you have to go to Colombia?
Is that where you go, Colombia?
I don't know. I'd probably go to China.
Yeah,
I'd go to any place that doesn't have extradition laws or an extradition agreement with Mexico and stay there, even if you got to stay at the airport.
You wouldn't stand out in China at all, Greg.
No, Florida.
What do you have coming up, Greg?
This weekend, actually leaving Wednesday, I get to go do a nice corporate gig in the Bahamas. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I should have a nice tan for next week's show. But and then next week, the week after that, I will be the last weekend of February. I will be in Dallas at TK's Comedy Club. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm actually going to be teaching a free workshop in the afternoon on Saturday afternoon there at TK's. So come on out and join us for that. That'll be a lot of fun. And then the week after that, or rather March, I think 13th through 19th, LA Comedy Club in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice. By the way, you did a show for the King of Connecticut, by the way. He knew you.
Ronnie's lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You did a show in Miami for him, right? Is that what he said, Sean? He said,
yeah, I've done shows in Miami, yeah.
Yeah, he said he performed at one of his I don't know, he's a pro wrestler too. He's a man of many talents, but he said that he goes, "Hey, I know Greg." He said he did one of our shows down here at whatever he I don't know what he's got. Maybe it was Cool Mo D's Social Club. I don't know. It's one of them.
He may have been there. There were a lot of people. I did this celebrity magazine launch party that they did, and had a terrible set actually, because it was a complete. I mean, it was a mess. They didn't have a stage for me. Everybody was just milling about. It was really a very difficult show. But it may have been there because it was loaded with various people and the personalities. So but it was probably that event. I think the I know what he's talking about.
The King of Connecticut.
The King of Connecticut was at the TBT magazine launch party. So.
Sean, what do you have coming up?
I don't know, man. Same old stuff. I'm actually planning on watching for the first time ever. Did you hear that Brendan Schaub got on Dancing with the Stars next season?
No. Are you kidding?
He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, they're just looking for a star for him to dance with now. So, oh.
Nice. There it is. Yeah, he did it.
That was good. That's actually a really good joke. All right. I will be at Legends in Lake Havasu. On February 20th.
That's a beautiful place.
Wait. So you're stripping now.
It's called Legends in Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu is beautiful. If you've never been there, I went there one time. I didn't know what it was. I just took my girlfriend there because it looked expensive. So we went there, and I literally decided to drive 100 yards from my house to the bar, the only bar in town, instead of walking. And I got pulled over for a DUI. On the way back, like a cop sat right out there, and I was like, dude, I literally am 25 yards from the house I'm living in or staying in or whatever like that. And he wanted me to do a breathalyzer. Luckily I passed it, or he said I did. I don't know what it was, but it's we've been drinking, and I thought sure that I can drive 100 yards to my house, but it's I got, he said, right.
Well, you make the place sound magnificent.
So don't drive if you're there, but other than that, no, it's beautiful.
You can't even drive 100 yards, but okay. It's a legend.
February 27th to March 5th, I'll be at Las Vegas.
Apparently, it's called Legends because legend has it. Cops wait outside the parking lot for you to leave.
They do. He pulled me over like 50 feet after I left the parking lot. I was like, dude.
I'm at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in March 4th. February 27th to March 5th. And then I'm at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Minnesota, March 23rd, 2026. And March 30th to April 2nd, the House of Comedy in Vancouver.
Does Biz Markie still have a social club?
Biz Markie?
Yeah, I don't know. I just you went to.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to have to text me what you got paid, because I may go do Coolio's stand-up comedy thing. From the scene you're explaining, it sounds like, it's not hard to make them laugh. Yeah. So I may go do it, depending on the money.
There was a fight. Yeah. I was like, how'd you do 2.5 hours? I'm like, well, there was a fight that took up 25 minutes.
Right. That's a nice intermission.
The feature quit. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just next level. It was so.
I'm going to be doing Cisco's Rec Room coming up. So check that out.
But this guy wants to go into business with me. I'm helping him write a play in Vegas. The guy.
Just have the King of Connecticut overlook the contracts before you sign.
Yeah.
He owns like 19,000 slot machines, video games. He has the patent for it. It just kept going on and on. I mean, the stories this guy was telling me, Greg, you got to meet this guy. I mean, he's just.
If you ever go back there, I'm coming. Just let me know. I will fly out just to meet that guy.
Dude.
Also, March 30th, I'm going to do Lil Wayne's sauna.
Limited seating.
Very limited seating. Bring your own towel. Dude, BYOT.
Dude, there was a woman in the front. I was like, so are you married to him? And she's like, yeah, I am. And I was like, how many cigarettes did you smoke like this? And she's like, way too many. And I did an impression of them having sex, like, put it in my ass. No, you put it. Like, dude, it was
like, when you're doing, you bite the apple.
Hold my cigarette. Hold my other cigarette. Now hold this cigarette.
Dude, some guy goes, that girl gives so much, such good head. He goes, my asshole was wet. I don't even know what I don't even know what that means. Like,
okay,
Greg. Right. Greg, anything on that?
I think she was doing it wrong. That's what it's.
She's slobbering. No, she's slobbering. She's slobbering down the dick.
You know what's weird is I heard when that girl
loves dogs.
It's for men only.
I heard when that girl gives you a BJ, 2 hours later you start having nicotine cravings. Like, now you're hooked.
She gives you a blowjob, but she sucks it out through your asshole.
Oh, yeah.
It's a unique technique. It's for men only.
I think I know her.
I'm glad this last 30 seconds of the podcast will keep me from getting an erection for the next 10. Yeah, that's like the opposite of Viagra hearing that. Ugh.
Kill that argon right away. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are the best. I hope you guys have a great week and take care.
See you, man.